We are live and we about to thrive. What's up, man? What's up? What's up? What's up? How you feeling?
You know, dude, I'm fucking ready to go. I'm ready to get this shit done. Yeah. Ready to get it over with. I'm ready for him to put me to sleep, cut me open, fix that shit, wake me up so we can start the recovery process.
Tomorrow's the big day.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to flip anyone off with my left hand ever again.
Why? Just because?
It's been stuck like this. It's been stuck like this. For borderline 6 months, dude. At this point, I'm over it. Mm-hmm. I'll never. if you're getting a fuck you, it's with the right hand. the left hand, that was a mistake. I don't do that no more.
Okay, you never. What about the double? The double.
I was never a double. I'm too big, and that comes off as super aggressive. Oh, if you give the double, they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, so me and my lady, we give the double each other all the time. I was like a little inside joke. I think I told you why. Inside joke.
That was for a friend.
Yeah, that was for a friend. Who could never lose weight?
that was for a friend who said I couldn't. You do it, I said I could do.
I think I'm excited for you. I for sure am excited for you. It's a weird kind of transitional period for both of us.
Yeah, definitely, but it's not easy, you know. The transition for anything's not easy, like in your guys' case moving, in my case fucking surgery, but it's necessary for growth.
It is. A lot of growing up to do, I guess, you know. Yeah.
And, dude, I miss school lunches for real. Not the taste, just the lack of responsibility. You just show up.
What was your favorite thing in a school lunch? What was your thing to eat?
I'm not going to lie, dude. I didn't eat school lunches.
You was balling. Okay, I see.
I just waited until I got home.
Oh, really?
Because I didn't like the food. I wasn't going to wake up early enough to do it. Mm-hmm. So I just waited till I got home.
Okay.
See. Yeah, and then in high school, we were pushing off campus.
Okay. Yeah, no, I just... Definitely, I had the free lunch. You know what that's like.
Yeah, that's why I need that shit.
No, but bro, like in the morning they would give you like cereal, and I love cereal. So nothing else. I would smash some cereal or get some Pop Tarts. Go ahead.
I don't get me wrong. There was things I would eat, but like, bro, my grandma can cook, bro. My grandma can cook. Most of the women in my family can cook. I can cook. So whenever I went to school, I just like, what the fuck is this? What is this? This is nasty.
Man, you know, it was, I would say the French fries. The French fries were always solid at school. And they would mix it up. Sometimes they'll give you like curly fries. They would give you regular fries. And then every once in a while, they'd throw in some tater tots. That was the vibe.
Do you think they all get like, do you think, I know it's different state to state because I went to school in New Mexico. You went to school in Indiana?
High school, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they get their food from the same corporation, like that U.S. Foods shit?
I think it's very possible because from my understanding, it's government contracted as far as like who gets the school lunch. So I would imagine it all comes from the same place.
I used to drive delivery trucks, and I used to drop off to U.S. Foods.
Mm-hmm. What about them? What's wrong?
I don't know what it is, dude. People who work in restaurants, people who like just walking into that warehouse sometimes and just smelling the excess of chemicals, food, just everything going on in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Just disgusted me. Just fucking disgusted me. So, okay. Yeah.
You know,
that and I used to drop off car parts there.
At the food place?
Think about it. They have all these semis that go out. They have to have a mechanic on site.
Yeah.
So I'd like have to drive through, and then I'd unload whatever I had on my cart, and I'd have to walk all the way through the warehouse to get to where the mechanics bay was.
That's crazy.
Disgusting, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Lubricant oils and stuff all over.
Oceanside, U.S. Foods.
You know, I did want to, now that it's just us, and it's not Ross, it's not T, it's not any black belts. What are your final thoughts on, I know you kind of spoke a little bit, what are your final thoughts on, you know, this whole lower belts taking on upper belt vibes?
I stand exactly where I stood the first day, dude. Again, I'm not saying that anyone can't. I'm not saying it's impossible. You know what I'm saying? Because there are those cases like Nicky Rod. But I think that it's a detriment to your growth to think that you're Nicky Rod, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like like, there's no target on it. Like, there's a target on a black belt's back. There's no target on a blue belt's back. If anything, there's a very small target on a purple belt's back, but it's not a real target.
You don't think white belts are targeting blue belts? Or just
yeah, but they're targeting everyone they can in the gym. You know, as you go up one belt rank, you know what I mean? That's just one less... like one less belt rank that you're targeting.
I don't know. There's a couple of white belts that I'm like, man, I kind of want to get you. Yeah,
but is it? Do you want to get them because they're skilled, or do you want to get them because they did some shit that pissed you off?
More of just because of, like, I would say their wrestling ability outweighs my wrestling ability, and
so that's different. You know what
and
I mean?
It's a different martial art, so I kind of.
Yeah, that goes back to, we can learn something from anyone. But to say that, like, to say that you're just dog walking black belts, that's where I can't agree on, because I know a lot of black belts. I have a lot of black belts I respect. Shout out Alyssa, shout out her dad, you know, Professor. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of black belts. And I know for a fact, because I've heard it come out of all of their mouths, and none of these people know each other, that they're like, I don't always roll with the purpose to beat you.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'm leaving things open to see if you can take it. Sometimes I'm leaving things open because I'm working on something new myself. So there's a lot of, like, intangibles that go into it. If you want to leave with a, hey, I tapped out a black belt, it's a dangerous game, because that confidence is going to get built. Mm-hmm. Then there's going to be some black belts going to chop that shit down.
So am I doing myself a detriment by leaving holes open for lower belts?
No, because, like, at the end of the day, in fighting and jiu-jitsu and wrestling, when you do something, there's always going to be a counter to it. There's always some kind of opening. The only difference is black belt knows where it is. I don't, like, some of the things I do, I don't necessarily know the opening until it's too late, or I feel the opening in between. The black belt knows the opening before he does it. You know, so I don't think you're giving yourself a detriment, because I also know that you don't just work on one thing all year. You know what I mean? You work on this part of your game for a little bit, then this part of your game for a little bit, then this part. So naturally, you're going to leave those openings. And to do that at times, sometimes you have to let somebody work to get into the position that you're trying to work on. You know? So I don't think you're doing... And then again, this is no shots at Ross. This is no shots at T, because, you know, I got mad respect for both of them for different reasons when it comes to their game on the mat. But I don't know, man. I just don't think that's the case.
I wonder how much of Ross and, you know, what he was saying is, I do, like I said, I've experienced situations with black belts where I know they were turning it up on me, and I know that I would honestly say, were we the same, if we were matched in a strength level, you know what I mean? Like, it would have been a problem. Or if we were matched in the, let's say, cardio and conditioning, because, you know, there are, you know, black belts in that aspect, they just kind of just let themselves go as far as conditioning goes, or they're like, or maybe, honestly, they went in that moment, was like, all right, I've been pushing, but there's no reason for me to push anymore, because I know I could beat him in any moment type deal, and not playing the game to win and allow me to just see what I could do. Maybe that was the case, and I've been in scenarios like that.
Well, and then even then, like, so especially you three, I know you're retired, but you're all competitors.
Yeah.
So as someone who's trying to help you get ready for a tournament, whether I'm playing the chess game to win or not, it's a detriment to your game if I'm not giving you tournament style looks. Okay. If I'm not pushing you to kind of catch that pace coming up to a tournament, which Ross always is coming up to a tournament, same with T, I'm not doing you any favors. And we're a team where it's everyone under this school, everyone under this affiliation. We all have the same goal in mind, and that's to walk away with the team medal. Individual medals are cool, but as a team, that's how we get it done.
Which it sucks, just because, like, some schools may not ever get a team medal just because they're just not big enough, you know, or newer schools may not get it, or whatever the case is, you know.
I'll be real, man, like, the size of the school, I'll never say the size of the school matters, bro. I'll never say that, because as long as you have a professor that you feel that you can be coached by, that understands, and that you guys can communicate back and forth on your growth, mm-hmm. and one or two good training partners, what more do you need?
Well, I'm saying to get the team trophy. Like,
yeah, but at the end of the day, like, if you have five students and every time they go to a tournament, four of them medal, right? Mm-hmm. But you never get the team trophy, but four of your five students medal every time. Yeah. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, the team medal is the end goal to grow the school, but if you're a small school, you kind of have to go into things knowing that you just don't have the numbers to compete for that.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's another thing. Like, in reality, team medals usually go to the same. They usually go to Gracie.
Yeah.
It's because everyone goes to Gracie first before branching out to other schools.
Or Gracie Baja, Gracie Humaita.
I lump them all together. I'm not even going to lie.
Okay.
I'm not even going to lie. To all the Gracie people out there, no disrespect. There's just a lot of them. No disrespect.
I think it's easy to separate Baja from, you know, it's yellow and red. Like, it's like, you know, Crips and Bloods, you know.
I guess, but do they have beef like that? I'm not too nuanced.
I don't know if they really have beef. I don't know if there's any real beef in jiu-jitsu outside of personal things where, you know, one person feels slighted in some way, or you're not falling in line with the cult mentality of a smaller school or something like that. Like, you know what I mean?
So here's what I shout out to Gracie San Diego, and whenever my family back home ran Gracie.
And real quick, bigger schools can be culty too. I don't even want to just say smaller schools.
Well, I'm not even saying like I went to a lot of Gracie schools, dude. Like, mm-hmm. whenever I first started jiu-jitsu, I only knew like, okay, I'm gonna go looking for jiu-jitsu. I only knew Gracie, you know. Yeah. Other than my family's affiliation, who no longer is Gracie affiliated anymore. Mm-hmm. I found Gracie San Diego, and those are really the only two places that I felt comfortable being at. I didn't like Gracie Vegas. I didn't like, I just didn't like it, you know?
Yeah.
I won't really get in. Like, I just felt like I couldn't be me, you know?
Yeah. You know, yeah, I feel that. And I think it's important that I'm allowed to be myself within the gym. I'm kind of too much of an individual to, like, you know.
Yeah, and then, like, you're paying your mat dues every month. I don't want to come here and have to...
Only wear white geese or... No hate on that, but...
No, I got hate on that. I got hate on that, you know, to only wear, like, Gracie geese or, like, and I get, like... Like, yeah, like the censorship. I had one school ask me to cut my hair. Just a bunch of stuff I ran into at Gracie yeah. schools, and I don't want to lump them all together. That's just my experience at the ones I went to.
Okay.
But Gracie San Diego was lit. Professor Alley was cool. Back home, you know, Three Crosses, fuck with y'all forever.
Are they Gracie based?
They were at first, but not anymore. Oh,
okay. Copy.
Why, I don't know. They just dropped the affiliation.
Okay. Yeah, no, Gracie Mindset is solid. At least in Brazil, that's the only one I've been to, so...
You know what I will say? Gracie Humaita has two teams, one in Texas and one in San Diego, mm-hmm. and they're all girl teams, and they're fucking good, dude. Good. I don't know about the one in San Diego anymore. That was a few years ago. But they're fucking good.
Okay. I haven't. Yeah. I'll have to check them out soon. Just take a visit down and just start checking out the schools down there. You know, this whole year was supposed to be different for us as far as, like, we were supposed to go to a bunch of schools, check a bunch of things out. Injury happened, and then, you know, kind of took a backseat to what we were supposed to do this year. I think that's part of why I've been so, you know, down. It's just like, man, there's so many goals and things that I wanted to do this year is like, just didn't happen. And for no other reason that, like, just life, you know what I mean? Not even like, just life happened and it kind of took over.
Yeah, you know, life definitely did happen, and no baby oil because Diddy bought it all. But you know, I still think overall we had, like, our platform was cool, man. I got to meet a lot of people that I probably wouldn't have met because I don't train on that side of the county. Mm-hmm. I probably would have never came across Ross because mm-hmm. you know me, I go into gyms and I don't talk.
Yeah.
You know. So it was the podcast has been fun for me just because it got me in contact with people I haven't trained with in a long time. Got to meet some new people. Got to steal some stuff from some people that probably don't even know I stole stuff from them.
Wait, are you not cursing now?
Huh?
I heard that correction. Are you not cursing now?
No, I'm still cursing, but I'm trying to, you know, cut it back for the podcast a little bit. I don't want to be up here like that SpongeBob episode.
SpongeBob episode?
You don't remember the episode of SpongeBob where they're, like, cursing and they have, like, little squeals to, like, bleep it out, and then Mrs. Puff comes up and grounds them or whatever and makes mm-hmm. them clean the...
I had no idea. I wasn't really into SpongeBob like that. You know, I saw a thing on the internet. I don't know how true it is. They said people watch SpongeBob lose brain cells or something like that.
I would have been a smart motherfucker because I watch that shit every day.
No, lose them. Lose them.
I know.
you would have been a smart...
I would have been a smart guy, man.
Yeah, it just... SpongeBob was always like, okay, this is pointless. I can't really vibe with this for some reason.
You know what it is, dude?
What?
I'm an only child, so the way I chop it up... My aunt was Squidward, and I had so much fun annoying the shit out of her every day because she's only like 5 or 6 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So it just got to a point where I was like, you know what would be funny? You know what would be funny? Is just to wake up and harass her all day. Dude, I remember one time for her birthday party, my mom was like, yeah, just help. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to play my game. I didn't care about no one there. I was still young, so in my head, girls still had cooties. And I remember someone pranked SpongeBob doing something, and it gave me the idea, I'm going to put salt in the Kool-Aid. And they asked me to make Kool-Aid like 4 times. And then after that, like whenever I was like, oh, they're drinking too much Kool-Aid, I salted the shit out of that Kool-Aid.
You put salt in the Kool-Aid? That's a travesty, bro. You don't mess up Kool-Aid like that.
I thought it was funny. No one else at the party thought it was funny.
I mean, I think like if I was the one playing the prank, you know, it's something like...
And I was like 9, dude.
Okay, 9 years old. Like nine. I get a little bit. It's just something about like a good prank. Like I see these pranks all the time. I would never do this to my lady because I feel like it's so savage. But I see these pranks where like this guy will be like, hey, babe. And they'll have like sub set up and it'll like smack her in the face with like drop a water balloon on her or like shaving cream water balloon or something like that.
Is he the ex-Marine like marksman or something like
that? There's one too, like with a Nerf war like that too.
Yeah. He like shoots the shaving cream balloon mm-hmm. from
that guy's
fucking hilarious, bro. I would do that shit. My lady, I would do that shit. Start walking through doors cautiously. I'm about to be home for 3-4 months. I'm gonna be bored.
Yeah. I you know, there's something about like I like annoying people, but I just can't bring myself to do like trip you or like anything that's going to cause any physical harm, or if you got to clean up a mess, because if there's a mess to clean up, I do kind of feel responsible to clean up that mess if it was made in the gist of my prank, but I don't want to clean up the mess, so it's kind of like
I'll clean up the mess.
It's worth it for you?
I'll clean up the mess, and I'm never going to do anything to harm anyone, but like a shaving cream balloon or something like that, yeah, I'll clean up the mess.
Okay.
Fuck it, yeah. Yeah, twice over.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? There was something, speaking of cleaning up mess, right? You know, oftentimes, we were talking about competition, and oftentimes, we make mistakes in competition. What are some of the mistakes that you feel that you could have kept from making that maybe hindered your success in a comp?
I have one specifically because technically it was my last tournament. Mm. Not this last World League, but World League from last summer. Mm-hmm. And the no-gi, I had that match won, pretty much wrapped up. I was scoreboard and clock watching. Mm. And I pretty much, because no shade to the dude who beat me. He fucking beat me. He got it off of a submission, you know? I just think my attention was just divided, you know what I mean? And I got to a point, because I did the gi tournament first, and then I did no gi. So I was already kind of gassed. So I was like clock watching. And whether I'm tired or not, that's a terrible fucking habit to have, because in the rules of engagement, in the rules of fighting, your attention should be on the person that you're going against. Not the clock, not the points, not the score. Mm-hmm. You should listen to your coach and be full attention here. And me breaking my attention was costly, you know? And the time it took for me to look up, see the score, check with my coach at the time, you know, our scramble turned into a footlock.
You don't think it's that, because, like, and I'm asking this from my perspective, like, you don't think it's advantageous to clock watch just to know how much time you have left? Especially if, like, let's just say you're down and you need to figure out how many points I need to, you need to calculate in your head how many points you need to get back up to win it.
In my opinion, a good corner man and a good coach should tell you that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I've had a coach, well, he used to piss me off, and he'd say the wrong time. Mm-hmm. He'd be like 45 seconds left, and there's a minute and 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But a good coach, and he's gonna let you know where you need to be. And then after being in jiu-jitsu for so long, I think you know when you're up on points or down on points throughout the match. But I think your focus should be on winning on any way possible, as long as, you know, your focus should be on finishing this dude. Not like clock watching. And that's just my opinion.
I think I kind of have to disagree with you on that a little bit. Just because, I get, like, so when I go in a tournament, I never want to win by points. I want to go in to finish someone. That's just who I am in my mentality. Because at the end of the day, I'm looking at this is the closest I'm going to get to training in a real world scenario. And I need to be able to finish whatever assailant or opponent that comes at my way if this was a real life scenario. But also in the effort to get a gold medal, I think it is important if you are, you know, I think we talked about compartmentalized sport jiu-jitsu and self-defense jiu-jitsu. I think it is important when you think, speaking of jiu-jitsu and the sport factor, to look at the clock, to know where you're at. Because, yeah, you're like, I'll say for me, for example, my coach may say you're down 7 points, but if I don't physically see it, I may not register, oh, shoot, I need to pass a guard. I need to get to mount. You know what I mean? All in one motion. I may just be like, I'm down 7 points. Oh, crap. Like, you know what I mean? But if I physically see it, it's like, okay, wait, now I can draw up a plan myself on where am I in this bad position and how do I get there in the next, you know, the next X amount of time.
No, I get you. I don't know, because it's, for me, it's different. Like, I'm still trying to finish. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the greatest multitasker. And okay. When my attention starts fading, it starts fading. You know what I mean? Okay. And that's why I prefer my coach to just be like, time. Like, tell me the time, tell me the points, and not to really worry about the screen. Mm-hmm. Because, and then even then, like, some of the worst fucking hits I took in football were when I was, like, looking at the scoreboard. When you're pursuing and you take a peep up, like, trying to see, like, how much time is left, you get fucking cracked.
I think also, I think also the times that I look at the clock are the times that I know where I'm at. You know, I know what position I'm in. It's not, I'm either in control, I need to know, hey, do I try to push this? Do I have time to, like, rush this? Do I have to rush this submission to get it, or do I have time to move to the next position, like you're saying, play that chess game? Do I have time to move the knight over here, or do I need to run that, you know, that pawn right up the middle because that's all I got right now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I definitely get you. And part of it for me, it could come from my lack of competition, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a competitive background, but when it comes to jiu-jitsu, I have a feel for jiu-jitsu, but a tournament feel and a feel for jiu-jitsu is different. You know what I mean? So, whereas, like, in class, I may coast at some points. In tournaments, for me, there's always a fucking huge adrenaline dump because I don't compete enough to get rid of that anxiety leading up.
Copy.
You know? So, and then that's another reason that I kind of rely on my coach to tell me those things, just because it's just another added stress. Like, all the time, the points, the, you know, so I just kind of I need to focus on
me. So you still get adrenaline dumps?
Yeah, man, I haven't had that many jiu-jitsu tournaments in completion. Like, so I think I had 2 comp nets. I had one in Arizona. I had High Rollers, I had World League, and then there's like, I think there's like two other Naga ones that I did.
Okay.
Back when I was a white belt. But those are all the tournaments I've ever done, bro. That's it. That is it. And then they're like super spaced out in my time training.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't look. I think I've only had adrenaline dump my first tournament, and maybe that's just because I've always focused on ever since that first one. I felt I was like gassed and tired. About 3 weeks out, I extra focus on cardio and pushing my machine as much as I can. So it's like if you dump that adrenaline, you know how to recover and come back. Maybe that's why I feel like I don't have them. I feel like there was one tournament I did get an adrenaline dump recently, but I was able to control it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it's so weird because I know in other sports I played in the past, I was cool, calm, and collected. But mm-hmm. jiu-jitsu has just never been like that for me.
Okay.
I think because like if we're being real, bro, football's not a fight. Like there's physical aspects to it, but there's no one intentionally trying to hurt you minus a few asshole outliers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with basketball. It's not even really that physical of a game. In jiu-jitsu, they're called submissions. Like you have to tap. So I think there's just like an added... like I don't like just an added like anxiousness, I guess,
for me.
And like, don't get me wrong, I've performed well in most tournaments that I've been in, but with jiu-jitsu, even at new schools where I don't know the people, bro, I get that like anxiousness just because I don't know them.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, I definitely get an anxiousness. Don't mistake this for saying I don't get anxious in competition. I think I just know how to deal with it better than I did when I first started.
Yeah.
And that anxiousness you talk about in new schools, the first time I roll with someone that maybe looks scary, I get a little anxiousness and I have to go deep in that well and just go, been here before, you know what it's like, just play your game. Do jiu-jitsu.
I always think back to like the second episode. What episode was Ross's first episode?
It was the second episode, yeah.
The second episode, whatever, we're just sitting there and everyone was like, I was afraid of you. No, I was afraid of you, but I was afraid of you. And it's just funny because it doesn't go away. It's that fear. And I wouldn't even say fear. It's just that anxiousness of your body knowing or you yourself knowing that like, some shit can happen, like whether he wants it to or not. Mm-hmm. What we're doing, some shit can really happen to me.
Yeah,
and I really think that's what it is, dude.
Okay,
I really think that's what it is. But as I learned this year, shit can happen to you going to work. Shit can happen to you walking down the street.
Yeah,
shit just happens.
That you're right about that. You mentioned earlier about a black belt having a responsibility to give you that competition look. Right.
So I don't think just a black belt. I think if you go to your school and you're like, hey, I'm competing, I feel like everybody has that responsibility to within like a practicing environment, mm-hmm. give you the intensity of a tournament.
Okay.
Or else they're doing you a disservice.
So what other responsibilities do you think, and we can go level belt by belt or we can jump around however you want. What other responsibilities do you think that belts have, you have, like, you know, as a white belt, as a blue belt, as a purple belt, to you or your training partners?
So the way I look at it, because at the end of the day, we all know I want to eventually open up my school, teach the same way my D-line coach was there for me when I didn't have a dad. I want to be able to pass forward through football, you know, through jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But I think black belts have the responsibility to teach, and then at the end of the day, no one really has any real responsibility to each other. You just built that camaraderie, and going to jiu-jitsu, you just start to care about people, you know? Care about people that you see every day, people who you see kids come in, and then they start training. So naturally, the only responsibility you gain is, hey, that's my friend. that's my friend, and that's kind of how I treat everyone that I come into contact with in jiu-jitsu. I don't treat them any differently than I would treat my friend, just because in my head, if I can do something about it to protect my friend, it is my responsibility. Yeah. If I can do something to teach my friend, it is my responsibility. And like as a community, I feel like every school has a responsibility within like to each other to keep it as what it is, a safe place for us to go to blow off steam, to keep drama out of our lives, to just, and that's really the only responsibility I think everyone has to each other. And like to a certain degree, try and keep each other safe, but just to keep it a safe space. Because everybody in jiu-jitsu says the same thing. I come here to blow off steam. I come here to get to better myself. I come here, like they're all kind of line up with the same goal. And I think that just keeps people honest.
Okay. Hmm. Huh, that's interesting. That's an interesting thought. I'm wondering, as you're saying that, I was just thinking about like just responsibilities to get better as a practitioner. I think that's something I need to put on everyone, right?
Yeah, well, so the thing is, bro, I've said it here. If you ask me something, I'll teach you. If you, or like, I'll teach you or tell you what I know. Because again, I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. But if I try and teach you something or I try and tell you something and you blow me off, I'll never do it again. Yeah. Just because obviously you don't want me to. And it's not my job. You didn't pay for me to teach you. You paid for the professor to teach you.
Yeah.
That's fine. I understand that. But at the end of the day, I don't have a responsibility to that person. But me and you, as friends, you know what I mean? If you ask, I feel like, yeah, it is my responsibility because you're my homie, dude. I'm not gonna just have the answer to some shit and not tell you because for no real reason, in all honesty.
Yeah.
We're not in the same weight class. We go to the same school. Like, there's no reason I shouldn't, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just how I see it. I think the only person in there that has a responsibility to the students is the owner of the establishment. And then even then, it's to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everything else, that shit just comes naturally. And I wouldn't even put it as a responsibility just because I've never been to a gym where everyone's like, I fucking hate those guys over there. Never been to one.
Hmm.
And then even then, I'm pretty sure if I ever come across one, it'll be a pretty uncomfortable place to be in.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm pretty sure there's a beatdown probably happening every day to that person in some fashion, or those guys, or women.
It's just fucking drama filled, bro. It's just drama filled. I had my little drama spats in jiu-jitsu early on. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm okay.
Drama spats, like what?
I've mentioned them, like dating girls in the gym.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I'm over all that, dude. I'm over all that.
Yeah. It's so interesting how like that is so far from my mindset when it goes to the gym. The last thing I'm thinking about is like dating anyone in a gym, and I feel like go ahead.
It wasn't my intention. It just happened. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna say how it happened.
Yeah.
I'm not like on the occasions that it happened. It just happened.
No. Well, I think that's why, like, I always say that, like, I was supposed to find jiu-jitsu, and I found it at when it was perfect for me, even though I had opportunities in the past to, like, start jiu-jitsu. Just because, like, me and my lady, we're, like, locked in. There is no going to check out other girls or anything like that or trying to holler at them and, like, trying to, like, hey, let me take you on a date, and then let's roll it. No. That I don't have time for that, let alone I'm so loyal and committed to my lady that, like, it's not gonna happen.
Well, for me at the time, I was single, and then like it just got to a place where like when I was living in Vegas, I wanted nothing to do with that shit no more. Like I came to jiu-jitsu to choke motherfuckers. Like I'm not here trying to talk to you. I'm not here trying to date you, because it just ended badly every time. But
Vegas will get you though. That's what it is, man.
We can't talk about Vegas. On the
hey, look, thing, look, you know? It's the Sin but, City. Half my name is Sin, bro. I get it, man.
Well, I learned my lesson in San Diego, dude. I learned my lesson in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
After I left San Diego, never again, dude. Never again. But yeah, and there were some places in Vegas where I trained, like my main gym now. There was like two girls there.
Oh, so you just you had side gyms.
I wouldn't say I had side gyms, but I definitely used to go to open mats at other gyms and stuff.
Okay.
Like that,
you know? I get that. Like when I was in high school, bro, I never dated girls in my school. I had girls all outside of high school, like around the city.
You're trying to get me in trouble, brother. You know, my lady watches it.
Hey, look, this is the past. You're locked in.
Nah, like, I'm just talking shit. But after the situation, the second situation in San Diego with this, mm-hmm. I did not. Like, I had blinders on. Like, I couldn't. Like, I know I trained with women in Vegas. Could not tell you what they looked like. Could not tell you their names. I could not. Like, I think maybe if I saw one in Walmart or something, I'd be like, you look familiar.
Yeah.
But I did not get close to them. I did. I stopped shitting where I eat, bro. I didn't. And, like, if I so happened to meet a girl who trained, she trains at that school over there, not over here. Where do I train? Don't worry about where I train. On the other side of town.
It's funny you say that, because I feel like that comes down to maturity, right? It comes down to maturity. And that was one of the questions I had on here is, like, how do you think jiu-jitsu has shaped your life as far as growing up, making you grow up, making you mature, you know, at this point, at this juncture? And also keep in mind now, you got to look into this as you're going back into with an injury, coming off an injury. How has it shaped your life outside of jiu-jitsu? And what kind of confidence has it given you? If any at all.
So I've always had a very like head down and work mentality, just kind of mm-hmm. where it's what it's like where I grew up for real.
Yeah.
But with jiu-jitsu, I realized I started maturing a lot faster in jiu-jitsu because I was too tired to go out and party. I wasn't trying to. And then the first time that I let my finances get out of hand and then I had to give up jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. That was the end of it. That's when I was like, nah, I got to get my shit together. I got to be able to train. I got to be able to. So it just kind of helped me put things into perspective. Would I rather go out and drink with my friends or would I rather pay my dues this month?
Yeah.
It kind of catapulted me into thinking about my priorities before thinking about fun. And like, to most people, jiu-jitsu wouldn't be a priority. But to someone who has like anger issues and like, yeah, I control my anger in other ways, but this is the way I like to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the way to where my bad day can be at 100% and I go train and I come home and I'm down to like 5. Video games, I'll go from 100 to 80. You know, it's not the same for me. So it just kind of put things into perspective of I need to handle my responsibilities. Like, it's a gut punch for everybody, you know? Like everyone has their different gut punch. But whenever I had to, like, yo, I can't train anymore because I can't afford it, this needs to stop. This needs to stop. And as for, like, confidence in life, I think it kind of just showed me that you really can do what you put your mind to, bro. Because there's a lot of guys, for lack of a better term, who look like they wouldn't bust a grape, bro. But they're in the gym, and I've seen times where people go from looking like you can take advantage of them and probably can take advantage of them and throw them around to now I'd pick them in a fight versus almost anybody. So it's just kind of that thing. It just helped me put shit into perspective. It got me tired enough to where partying didn't seem fun, and then everything from there just kind of lined up.
You know, you said that, it reminded me of Attack on Titan, because I'm on it. So spoiler alerts, if anyone who hasn't watched, I'm still in season one and I'm on like episode 5, 6, right? Where
you're not spoiling
they're making the decision to either go into scouts or the military police or the cavalry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's his name? Aaron? Main character?
Yeah, Aaron.
I'm still trying to remember one's names, you know.
Aaron, Armin, Mikasa.
Sandy's the one that cracks me up just because she's like stealing food and stuff. Just like, yo, I'm doing me. Ain't nobody changing that.
When they made her run and she was like, can I finish my bread first?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Sandy, she's a vibe. As far as personality,
nobody tell him shit.
Yeah, don't tell me anything.
Comment nothing about it.
No, y'all can comment some things.
Nah, bro, because I know people are on the internet. Don't comment nothing about Attack on Titan.
Okay. Sasha. My point in saying that, huh?
Her name's Sasha.
Oh, it's Sasha? It's not Sandy?
Yeah, it's Sasha.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's cool. It's a cartoon. I don't give a fuck.
I'm trying to remember everyone's name. But Aaron, he just gives a speech about, like, yo, I'm going to kill all these dudes. And, like, if y'all ain't trying to get better, like, why are you even here? And, like, you know, and then everyone starts, like, no, we're going scouts now. And, like, in a weird way, I kind of feel like Aaron's, like, that's kind of how I feel about jiu-jitsu. It's like, if you're not here to get better, if you're not here to, you know, take on the challenges that scare you, like, why are you here? Like, what are you doing wasting your time and our time on the mats?
You know what I do see a lot in jiu-jitsu? I see people put their kids in it, and mm-hmm. then their kids get to a point to where they're still kids, but you can't necessarily look at them as kids. And then you realize they know some shit you don't know.
Mm.
And then those people get into jiu-jitsu. And I feel like they have the weakest will because they're not there for any reason other than they think their kids can beat them up. Like, deep down, they think their kids can beat them
up. Oh, like the parents that join?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Deep down, they think their kids can beat them up. That's what I think. Especially, like, no shade, but especially, like, daughters and moms.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think they get
I know, like, you know, if I had a son and I felt like he was outpacing me in jiu-jitsu, I'd probably have to study a little bit more because I'm just like, I can never have that moment where you checking me and just dropping me like a, you know.
Go take the trash.
Yeah. Like, what'd you say? Oh, dude, I was watching this meme. It was funny. It was just like going through the generations of, like, they're like Gen Z's dads and the disrespect that they get. And he was like, all right, well, you know what? Buddy, you need to, like he was disrespected by his son. He was like, all right, buddy, you need to, like, be a little bit more serious and you need to, like, you know, be responsible and take care of your things. And he was like, man, whatever, at the end, right? Then it went down to, like, millennial dads was like, oh, okay, you know, hey, do you know what I went through? No, you gotta go check that stuff, yada, yada, yada. Then he goes back to boomer dads, and boomer's dad is like, huh? One more time, say that again. Went get his belt and beats him.
I'm not a believer in gentle parenting. I'm not a believer in gentle dog owners because I know how I was when my mom tried that shit, and it did not work, and it would not have worked.
Hey, look, I'm not saying you should beat your kids ever.
No. So, my bad. I'm not saying you should beat your kids, but there is a correct way to discipline your kids.
Yeah.
And taking shit away isn't enough.
I think, though, here's the thing. I do think taking it away and making them actually earn it back or, like, you know, set a standard for, like, you have to work for this, right? I just don't pay the cell phone bill. All right, tell you what, you want a cell phone? Well, now you got to get a job. Like, you know, I used to pay for it. That was cool. But if you want your cell phone, now you got to get a job. And you know what? I don't want to have to do dishes anymore. I don't want to have to take out the trash anymore. I don't want to have to vacuum and, you know, clean the bathroom anymore. So now what? That is your job. If you want this cell phone and each one of those things, we tally it up to a dollar amount. We'll add that up. And if you don't do all of it, then you don't get enough for your cell phone. And you don't get it. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
So, contrary, like, I was spanked a few times as a mm-hmm. kid, but that is not what my family believed in.
Yeah.
My family believed in PT.
Yeah, no, I like that idea, too.
You got in trouble, they sent you to your room to think about it, and it was never the same amount of time. Sometimes it was mind games. Sometimes it was 5 minutes. Sometimes it was 2 hours.
Mm.
Sometimes, but I'd hear the adults in the other room just having a good time. They're not thinking about me. And then out of nowhere, it gets quiet, and the door opens, and then they, like, change into workout clothes. And then we'd start with, like, running, and then they'd have me do military-style push-ups. Down, up, down, up,
yep.
Down, have me hold it. If I fail, we're starting over because you hit the ground.
Yep.
Like, stuff like that. And then after that, they'd give me a fucked up chore. Like, go pull all the weeds. Stuff like that is what kept me out of trouble. Taking my shit away, whatever.
Yeah, That's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, gentle parenting. That's what I'm saying. It's, yeah, it's not about beating your kids. It's about, like, knowing how
Timmy,
to mentally.
That wasn't nice. Timmy knows that shit wasn't nice.
And Timmy don't give a at all.
That's what I'm saying.
Timmy, so, go ahead.
So that's just what I mean by, like, I don't believe in gentle parenting. Yeah. Like, give, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, I think back to this 2-year-old who was like, I watched him straight up hit his dad. And not like, oh, like how we're playing, but like, you know, that kind of, I don't know, he came over, tried to do that to me. I was like, eh, caught his head. No, we don't do that, kid. we don't do that. And he tried it one more time and I caught his head again. I was like, no, we don't do that. And he didn't try after that. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I just watched his parents just allow him to do that. And that's not to say, like, you know, I don't know what's going on at home. I don't know what type of time this parent has to be present with his child or whatnot. But those sort of actions, right, are what transpire into these children just running amok and doing whatever they want. And, you know, out here in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what y'all teach your kids. I know the kids in my family are still taught to throw them things. So if your kids don't know how to keep your hands to yourselves, you run across the weak Sir Jones in California. I'm sorry.
Well, look, no, I think it's important to teach your kids to throw your hands, right? But I think it's also like, hey, we're in public. You don't throw your hands at me ever, right? Like,
well, no, I'm not even talking about thing. To you. It's a keeping your hands to yourself.
Oh, okay.
You don't
okay.
know what other people are taught.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be real with you, like, in my family, we're taught you protect yourself first over everything. Mm-hmm. And that means if your child can't keep their hands to yourself, these children over here are going to handle it accordingly. You know? Okay. And, like, maybe that's a medieval way to think about it, or, like, oh, that's not right. But there's been multiple cases of, like, teachers don't do shit. Teachers are employees just like me and you. You know? Mm-hmm. They don't, to a certain degree, they don't care.
They don't get paid enough.
Exactly. And that is why I'll forever be an advocate of somebody fucking with you, you put them down.
Yeah.
You know, there's too much weird shit going on in schools now. And then California passed that law that they're about to either put cell phone blockers in schools or make it to where their phones aren't allowed in schools.
Hmm.
But I don't really like that just because of all the shit that happens all the time. And like, when I say the shit, you know what I mean? Like
the
shootings. You're going to take cell phones away?
Yeah, I...
Like, I get what they're trying to do because California tests really low and they're considered not the brightest state.
Really? That's very interesting because I've always thought of California as one of the standards for education.
Hell no.
I thought Nevada was like a low standard.
They are too. So California is not low, but they're not high.
Okay.
They're like in the middle. But if I'm not mistaken, the smartest region in America is the Northeast. Based off of testing.
That would make sense.
Like Virginia up into the peninsula.
Yeah, because that's where 100% like you have parents while they are in the workforce, they're very much, those are where a lot of the Ivy League schools are. And that's where it's like, hey, no. And also that's where I think that's a lot of where the generational wealth is, like in the hands of the people on that coast. This is all new money out here. That's why you get this softer parenting vibe out here and this kind of, we're hippies. We're like, at the end of the day, you know, it's like,
don't bunch me in with these Californians.
No, I'm just saying colloquially the energy and the people of this state are very much, I feel, more pacifist than they are, you know, aggressive. Yeah. They don't even believe in carrying guns for the most part to protect yourself.
Keep that thing on you.
I mean, but that's you. But what is that? That's a South thing. That's even on the East Coast, they think for the most part outside of New York, you're allowed to you know have a strap to protect yourself.
Yeah, my thing is we shouldn't even get on this on the podcast. But
okay.
Yeah, my thing is just like, the world's a crazy place and it's only getting worse. So
yeah.
I'm always going to tell the people I care about and the people that I fuck with to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know, protect yourself. Know how to protect yourself. And if you don't know how, learn to. You're going to spend, like, the people who don't want to do boxing or say martial arts is expensive, I guarantee you they spend that money on alcohol or something else.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I'm not telling you to give up your vices, but I'm just saying, like, if you put it into perspective that way, where you can put that money towards boxing and then you learn boxing and you can teach your daughter and your wife and your son how to box, so now you have a level of comfortability within yourself. Like, mm-hmm. okay, if my wife or my daughter or my kids are out there, they know how to defend themselves to a certain degree. It's a stupid purchase to buy alcohol over.
Yeah, and that, and like once you learn any, I would say almost any martial art, you really don't want to, like, don't get me wrong, you get those guys who get the blue belt levels, like, I could take on people, whatever, you know, kind of how you say you were at parties, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I would say colloquially, people ain't really trying to fight. It's like, hey, we know what this takes. We know what it can do. Not only that, this day and age, the legal ramifications for even getting to an altercation is not even worth it. So the maturity level that comes with understanding of martial arts, just, I think it just tenfold points you in the right direction to, like, just be non-confrontational in general.
Yeah, I definitely do agree. Despite what the energy that my lady gives off, for those of you that know her, they compare her to a kindergarten teacher or Mary Poppins. Those are the two that I've gotten the most about my lady. Mm-hmm. But she did boxing for a while. Like, there's a certain part of me that knows that if push comes to shove and she has to throw them things to a certain degree, she's going to be okay. She more than likely will be able to create her distance and get help, you know? But if she didn't, no, I'd be stressed out every day. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you answer your phone? And I think that's where those guys come from.
Yeah.
The ones who don't have any faith that their person can protect themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's just me. That's just the way I see it.
Sometimes you got to pop on show people, as they say.
Certified boogeyman. You know, the one that up to skull with him.
You know, yeah. You're right. You got where I was going.
Walking around the whole town. I know he got some hoe in him.
It's, man, but it's hard when you know that, too. When you know they got this, that, you know, that when they, you know, I'm trying not to curse, but when they got that hoe in them, right? Like, I guess the thing, when you know, I've said this before. Like, the reason why I got away with what I got away with growing up is because I knew they weren't about that life, right? I knew 9 times out of 10, because I grew up around real gangsters out here in L.A. When I got to Indiana, I was like, oh, y'all ain't really about this. Y'all ain't about to do nothing. Like, I can talk all the mess I want. As long as I show you I'm down to go, you're not going to challenge me.
You know what's funny, dude? So, to a certain extent, I agree with you when it comes to, like, gang members, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I come from, there is nothing to fucking do. The nearest city that there is something to do is 4 miles, is not 4 miles, it's like 4 hours away. And then even then, if you're not 21 and up, there's shit to do.
Yeah.
So fighting is a thing. And I realize, like, in California, people are more willing to shoot you. In New Mexico, nah, they're going to throw the mans, bro.
Yeah.
They're gonna fight you in New Mexico.
Well, I'm talking about high school, and I'm talking about immature people
who have no
self-confidence within themselves. I'm not, again, I go back to what I was saying just a little bit ago. It's like, I'm not trying to get in confrontations now. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be in any confrontations, because at the end of the day, the cost, the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
So the jiu-jitsu aspect of it has given me confidence in two ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can prove that someone attacked you and you choked them out and then you stayed there and you woke them up and then the cops came and you explained to them, hey, person attacked me, I put that motherfucker down, I subdued the suspect, nothing's happening to you.
Yeah.
You know? But also, you can really tell who doesn't, who can't, like you said, the ones who are overcompensating, selling wolf tickets, for lack of a better word, you know what I mean? There's usually no square up. They usually don't create distance. They usually just sit there and rah 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 at an extremely, like, close distance. And since I started training more, I don't like getting into fights, but if one happens, I'm going to commentate. I'm going to be like, he's trash. I'm going to commentate. And that's one thing I've noticed. Like, there was one time where I seen the dude was mad. I don't remember what he was mad about, but he was getting real hyped. He was getting real red. The other guy was calm. I'm looking at the calm guy like, hey, I don't think we should let this happen. The dude just kept getting mad. Calm dude takes a step back and he's like, hey man, it doesn't have to be like this. And when he said it doesn't have to be like this, I knew he was talking about it doesn't have to end for you like this.
Exactly.
But when the dude squared up, I left. I know the fight didn't last long because my homie told me about it, but I knew it was about to be a bad time for him, and the dude got knocked out in like one or two hits, or he got put down pretty quick. But that was a moment I realized, like, a lot of the people that people are afraid of are not the people they need to be afraid of.
Yeah. No, not for sure. We are at that time, man. We should probably talk about some positive things. Yeah, we're at 55 minutes, as it says on this clock here.
Bam. All right. Well, you want me to go first or you go first?
Man,
Hold on.
If you start, then it goes, you know, circles back around,
No, but where's your left hand? Where's your left hand?
It's right here.
And you got to pass it to the left hand.
But, like, if your left hand went this way, then it would, like, come to my right hand.
My left hand,
like,
comes out this way.
But
you're, like, reach your left hand out.
But you got to, like, you know what, whatever. All right. So, I'm positive that, you know, we've had this experience together, man. Like, it's been a fun experience. And, you know, I haven't always been the most brightest of moments, I feel like. But I definitely feel like, you know, there's something here. And I'm happy to have done it with you, man. Seriously. We got next year. And it's, you know, we got another 52 episodes to bang out, and we're getting close here, and, like, yeah, man. Yeah, we'll see where we end up.
Yeah, man. And
it's all in the
and
journey.
To build off that, man, again, I know we had a lot of plans that got halted because I wasn't training. Mm-hmm. But for what we did have with what we had got with the cards we were dealt in terms of my hand, just not being able to train, my vacation in the middle of summer. Mm-hmm. I think we did a great job. And then even then I had no knowledge of cameras, lights, editing. Still have no knowledge on editing, if I'm being real with you. but I think we put out a pretty cool product that for anybody.
Yeah.
Whether you're new, been in it, haven't been in it, want to get in it. So I think we did something pretty cool, and I can't wait to, like, keep expanding on it.
Same.
You know?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, I think maybe it's just, you know, kind of where I've been at this past couple of weeks. I'm just thinking it's like it all had to have happened for a reason. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just slowing down and enjoying the journey is what, you know, what the reason was, instead of just trying to, like, push warp speed ahead with everything, you know what I mean? Who knows, you know, we could have went so fast and ended up like Diddy, right? You know?
No, we don't do the same shit. They not like us.
No, definitely not like that at all. But what I mean is, like, you know, I feel that sometimes success across the board can go to people's heads and they start losing who they are. Right. And I think it's, you hear about selling your soul and things like that. And I think that's kind of, metaphorically speaking, what is being said. It's not about, like, oh, they're rich and they made money. It's just like, what are you doing with it? And how are you making a difference? How are you making an impact? And how are you helping people? You know, because that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah.
In life and on the mats.
Big facts. Before we go, I do have one.
Yeah, go your positivity time now. Go ahead. To the left.
It is finally almost over. That's my positive. By the time this airs, mm-hmm. Monday, or are we going to do the one on Saturday?
Well, we're going to find out.
Anyway, by the time this airs, I'll have already been well out of surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of ready to start making my way back to what I love to do. And, yeah. You know, I'm starting to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I've gotten time to start my school again and kind of take some time to better where my life is going as opposed to where it was.
And that's what I'm saying, right? It's like that time was given to us for whatever reason. And like, maybe we didn't always make the best use of that time, but it's still time. And, you know, we still got, what, another quarter of the year to go. So let's use that time to evolve ourselves.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, man, that's what I got. I got a little secret that I'm gonna tell you off air.
Okay.
But yeah, you know how it is.
Alright, well, I mean, that's it for me, bro.
You know how it is. Thank you for tapping in with us, as always, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry for the shit I talked, but just so you know, you guys are the people I was talking about that I care about. Learn to protect yourself. Learn to protect yourself, your loved ones. If you learn any type of martial arts, there's nothing wrong with you teaching what you learn to your family. Whatever you got to do. But outside of that, you know what it is. Like, comment, subscribe. And if you want to smoke, make a reservation with Ross because he's uppity and he's out of the country right now.
Also, you know, I do want to touch...
I'm just joking, Ross.
I do want to touch on what you just said. It's like, don't be afraid to take a shot. Don't be afraid to swing. And, you know, don't be afraid to look at your situation like I'm in a bad position. The same way like in jiu-jitsu, it's like I'm in a bad position. Let's try to really get out of here. We tried this way before. It didn't work. Well, you know what? Let's try it again and see if there was something I could pick up that I did wrong in that aspect. Or let's try another route. You did it this way. Well, try it another way. Like, go after your dreams. Go after your goals and just shoot your shots.
Is it this one?
It's this one.
This one?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can hear that, but I heard it.
Nah, they will in post.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But yeah, man, you know, that's really all it was. This year was eye-opening for me. There were some points where I was super fucking mad, bro. Like your tournament in May, because I was supposed to compete in that.
Yeah,
I was super fucking mad. I was super fucking mad.
I was mad too, man. I was mad too. Because I was hoping to rock, you know, ride out with you a little bit.
I would have won.
I know you would have.
I was looking at the bracket. I would have won.
That's how I feel about IBJJ Worlds, IBJJF Worlds, man. But, you know. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, in hindsight, you know, hindsight's 2020. And we'll see y'all motherfuckers next year.
I think my sight's 2020. So, I mean, like...
No, I said hindsight.
No, but I'm saying my sight's 2020. So, do I get hindsight and foresight in that case?
Hey, well, with my bad eyesight, I'm going to tell you right now. No. Oh, right. Man. Like, comment, subscribe. If you want to smoke, hit up T. Ross is being uppity and drinking mimosas on the beach.
Hopefully.
I don't know what he's doing, but I just hope he's having a good time. And other than that, you know, peace.
Stay blessed.